Good evening, welcome everyone. Tonight's tefillah here. Shin number 81. Yud Gimel Adar Beis, Toshin Samaches. Tomorrow is, of course, as we know, Tanis Esther. March 19th, 2008. Shin number 81. And tonight we're learning about tefillah Shema. In particular, the Shema of Shachris. Tonight's shir is also in memory of Yenta Bracha Bas Yaakov Yosef, whose Shloishim is on Purim. She passed away at a very young age of 57. Her neshama should have an aliyah, that the schus from this tefillah shir should be in her merit. I just wanted to mention one point about this lady, who is the mother of a good friend of mine, that when I went to go Menachem Avol, this is not part of the script of tonight's shir, but I feel it's important to mention. So I heard a story about her, how she knew a Naguna, a lady who, unfortunately, her husband left her, and she was not able to get out of the marriage. This lady, Yenta Bracha Bas Yaakov Yosef, told her, "I'm davening for you in the Bracha Matir Asurim, that Hashem should release this binding state that you're in." I told my friend when I heard this story how in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, in the introduction, his son, the son of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, Rav Yitzchak Volozhiner, he writes that of all the teichacha my father would give me, he would say, we have to mishtatif in tzar d'achrin. We have to be involved in the suffering, the pain of other people. We have to think of other people. I said, here, your mother, in her tefillah, she has this in mind for other people. Tonight we'll discuss tefillah Shema. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We all know these words. Unfortunately, sometimes we know Jews who are very far removed from Yiddishkeit, from Judaism. And even them, even some of them, are familiar with these words, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. As we know, parnasa is not always easy, a livelihood. There was once a person, Reuven, he had difficulty parnasa. So he looks in the advertisements, he sees. There was a monkey in the zoo that just died. And when a person gets desperate for parnasa, kosher of course, he has to do what he has to do. So they were advertising that somebody should wear this monkey suit and do these tricks. So he tried out. He's acrobatic. He's athletic. He got the job. And nobody knew it was a monkey inside the suit. It was a person inside the monkey suit. And he's jumping up and down, making the sounds. And they all loved it. One day, Reuven went a little overboard. And he flipped from the monkey's cage, monkey's area, into the lion's den. He flips around, he stands up, he looks up, and he sees a lion right in front of him. Not too long ago, in San Francisco, I think it was, in the zoo over there, I think it was a tiger, a lion, unfortunately, it got out of a cage, I think it was, and it brought the end of a person's life. Here, Reuven is, in his monkey suit, standing right in front of this ferocious lion. What does he do? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. He thought it's all over. And the lion roars back, Baruch Shem Kivayim Malchus Elyon Oved. The zebra in the pen next door says, if you don't be quiet, we'll all lose our jobs. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Shema is the call to humanity for peace. On the other hand, it's also the battle cry for every Jew. Shema is what we've been saying for generations, and Shema is what we will be saying for generations to come. What we'll do tonight is spend a few minutes discussing the importance of Kriya Shema, then we'll get into some halachas, and then being that tomorrow night is the Yontif of Purim, Habalun L'Toiva, so we'll try to tie it in a little to Purim as well. But to begin, we know that there's the Shema Yisrael, as we just mentioned, there's the Baruch Shem, and even before all that, there's the Kel Melech Neman, the first three words that begin even before Shema, which we have to understand what are all these different parts of the Tefillah. Then we have the three paragraphs, Vahavta, Vayim Shemaya, and the Parashat Tzitzis. That's the makeup of Shema. The Sefer HaChinuch, which is written by one of the Rishonim for his son, in Mitzvah Tav Chaf, he tells us as follows, Mishor Shei HaMitzvah, from the roots of this mitzvah, Shevotzah HaKel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wanted to, what? Lezakos Amoy, to give merit to his people, his nation, Sheikablu Aleim Omal Chusoy, V'Yichudoy, B'chol Yoyim V'Layla, that we should accept upon ourselves the sovereignty to subjugate ourselves to Hashem every day and every night. Kol hayom shem chayim, every single day that we are alive. Ki b'yoyis ha'adom ba'al chaymer nifter achar hevli ha'ilom. Because since man is a physical entity, he's like a magnet. What does he run to? What is the attraction? The taivas ha'ilom hazeh. He continues and says, nimshach l'tav osoy. He's drawn in, like the magnet draws the other side, he's drawn in to the taiva, to the desires of this world. So we need a constant reminder. Tzorech ha-kaponim, zichroin, temidi, b'machu shemayim, l'shoimro min ha-chet. He needs this constant reminder to guard him from sin. Like I mentioned last week when I was visiting my father, in the hospital, Baruch Hashem, he is doing better from his back surgery. Should have continued to have refuah shleima, Eliezer ben Bluma. So when I borrowed that GPS, so if you make that turn and the wrong turn, so they say recalculating, right? We all seems you have a GPS, right? You use it,
absolutely.
Or they tell you right turn, and like when you didn't make that right turn, they said like right turn, like didn't you get it? Right turn. And here as well, we say Shema Yisrael is our GPS because we have to remind ourselves constantly in this battle that does not end until the last breath that we breathe in this world. The battle with the Yetzirah between the Neshama and the Guf, the physicality and the spirituality. So the Chinuch tells us that the main point, one main point of saying Shema, that Hashem gave us this mitzvah Shema, is to make sure that we constantly, in the morning, we say Shema, and it'll be that reminder for us throughout the day. And we say Shema at night to be the reminder as well. And a similar point is also by the mitzvah of Mezuzah, similar point by the Mitzvah Tzitzis and Tefillin, which is not for tonight's discussion. Now, the Mitzvah of Shema is a Deraisa. As we know, it's in the Torah. That being the case, so this Mitzvah is a requirement which obligates us to have Kavana before we do this Mitzvah. Mitzvah Srichas Kavana. A Mitzvah needs to have Kavana. When we do a Mitzvah, Hashem commanded us to do these commandments, we have to have in mind that we're coming to fulfill His mitzvah. Therefore, we have to know what is the kavana, what is this mindset that we have to have, and what is the minimal mindset we could fulfill this mitzvah with. And if we did not fulfill this little obligation, this little requirement, at least the minimum which we'll get to, we have not fulfilled our obligation. And this is from the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Samach Gimel, Sif Dalit. He says, Ikra Gavana, the main Kavana, who be Pasuk Rishon, is the first Pasuk. Shema Yisrael Hashem Lekein Hashem Echad. Hilkoch in Karov Lechivein Kivein, Liboy be Pasuk Rishon Leyotze Dechavasai. If a person says Shema, but he didn't have a proper Kavana, he took his hand, somebody else, you know, it's like my little children sometimes, you know. You know, they say Shema while they're playing with the toys and this and that. They're just sometimes repeating a word here and there. Eventually, hopefully, it gets into the system. And then they get older and they have proper Kavana. The Mishnah Berurah adds in Siman Samach Gimel, Sif Kadin Yiralef, he says that Baruch Shem Kivoy Malchusoy L'yoylom Void is included in what we say is Pasuk Rishon. So we have to have make sure that we have Kavanah for Shema and Baruch Shem. There's an opinion that says until Aleph Avecha is all also included in that first Pasuk. Okay. But at least Shema and Baruch Shem. That's the minimal requirement of what we have to understand in the requirement to say Shema. The Zohar Kaddish tells us that there are 245 words in Shema. Every single word corresponds to another part of our body, another limb, another aver. Now we have 248. So there are different ways to fulfill. That's right, that's one. Another way, that's if we say it Shema by ourselves, according to some opinions. We should say, preceding Shema, we should say Kel Melech Neman, which we'll get to with Hashem in the weeks to come, to discuss what that means exactly. As well as, if we're down with the Tzibor, we hear him say Hashem Elokeichem Emes at the end, when he repeats those three words, and that adds up to the 248. So the Zohar Kaddish tells us, when we say Shema properly, with the proper Kavanah, with the Eima, the Yira, the Resis, and the Zeya, the fear, the trepidation, the understanding that we're coming now to accept upon ourselves the yoke of heaven, Shema, in Shema itself, the Sefer Sisi Chacham on Maseches Brachos, he tells us, in Shema, the word Shema, you take the letters backwards, you have all Malchus Shemaim. Because Shema is the acceptance of God's sovereignty, of God in charge of us. He is the King. And that's what we're coming to do now. We know Midik Negemida, the flip side is as well, that if a person does not have the proper Kavana throughout all these words of Shema, so what's going to happen is that the Zohar tells us, Zohar Kaddish tells us, that his bones and his Ivarim that would have been filled up with Kedusha are now filled up with Ruach Ra, with this tumor, with this impurity. The Gemara tells us in Brachas Daf Gimel that first we accept Amal Chishmayim, and then the next paragraph is the paragraph of the mitzvahs. The paragraph where if we fulfill the mitzvahs, Hashem will do good for us. If not, we will get that patch. The patch is not because Hashem hates us. The patch is to discipline us, like every father loves his child. And that is the patch which we will get to, Mitzvah Hashem, in a few minutes. The patch that we all received in the story of Purim. The wake-up call. The Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher, and other Rishonim tell us as well, that when a person says Shema, he should have in mind that he is giving over his body to Hashem. He's sanctifying his body to Hashem. And the Ramchal, Moshe Chaim Lusato, tells us that when a person does this, when he has this kavana, this mindset, when he says Shema, that he's giving himself over to Hashem, then it's as if he was killed, Al Kiddush Hashem. He gets the schar, the reward, as if, God forbid, he was killed, because he really meant it. That if a situation would have come up, he would die Al Kiddush Hashem. He would die for the sake of sanctifying God's name. And when he does this, not only does he sanctify himself, but he sanctifies the world at large, as we discussed last week, that the mitzvahs that we do here in this room, here in this community, here in this town, in this city, in this state, in this country, don't just end here. They go to the whole entire world and the spiritual worlds above. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Samach Aleph on Beis tells us the story which some of us are familiar with Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva and another Jew, another Yid, by the name of Pfeifus ben Yehuda. And there was a decree not to learn Torah. There was a decree not to teach Torah. Did Rabbi Kiva heed to this decree? No. He still taught Torah, Berabim. He gathered Jews together. And Pfeifus ben Yehuda said to him, "What are you doing? You'll get caught. You'll be killed. What are you doing?" To this, Rabbi Kiva responded with a mashal. What was the mashal? Famous mashal, which we might be familiar with.
Fox.
The fox, exactly. He told him the story with the fox and the fish. fox one day, he sees the fish swimming back and forth. He's very nervous, concerned. The fox says to him, "What are you so concerned about? What are you so nervous about?" He told him, don't you realize? The fishermen might come. They might throw out their traps, their nets. They might catch me. I'll be someone's supper tonight." So the fox responded, "Oh, no problem. Come up here in the dry land. Their nets don't go up here. They only go over there." To this, the fish responded, "You, they call you the sly, they call you the smart one, the smart fox. Don't you realize? I come out of this water. I'm history. I have no hope at all. I can't live out of water. A fish out of water, you can't live." This is what Rabbi Akiva told Fives Ben Yehuda. That a Jew cannot live without Torah. Torah is nimshol lamayim, is compared to water. A Jew without Torah cannot live. He is not a living Jew. He's not a living person. He's physically walking. He's physically moving. But spirituality, he's dying. We all know the end, the unfortunate end of Rabbi Akiva. The end, when I say the end that appeared to us as an end here in this world. That Gemara, same Gemara, continues and elaborates when Rabbi Akiva was eventually taken captive by the Romans and placed into jail. This took place on Rosh Chodesh Elul. And we know what happened was that he met his final end, his death, when they combed his skin with metal combs until he said, "Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad," and his neshama's holy soul left this world. And the Gemara relates, and they went to Olam Haba, the Basco came out and said, "Fortunate are you, Rabbi Akiva, that your soul went to Olam Haba." The Sefer Ben Yehoyada, who actually was from Baghdad, another connection to Purim, which we'll get a better one soon. Thank you. He asked a question. The Talmidim, Rabbi Akiva, they said, "Ad kana, how much can you take? What are you saying, Shema Yisrael now?" And the Gemara tells us that it was a zman of it was a time of saying Kriya Shema, which we know we'll get to with Hashem. Kriya Shema is a time-bound mitzvah, has to be said within the third hour of the day. There's the opinion of the Magen Avraham, there's the opinion of the Gra. The Magen Avraham says it's from dawn till nightfall. The Gra says from sunrise to sunset. If we miss saying Shema during that time, and we say Shema afterwards, it's like learning Torah, but we did not fulfill the mitzvah of saying Shema. We have to make sure to fulfill it in that time-bound time amount allotted for us. So the question that Ben Yehoyada asks is, what was Rabbi Akiva's response? "I waited for this every day of my life. Because when I said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol me'odecha, afilu noitos nafshecha," even if they take your life. Rabbi Akiva said, I said Shema, and I said, he responded to his students, that if they would come take my life, I would give it over to God, to Hashem, to sanctify His name, because I am a Jew. That is a halacha. The halacha is, a person sees his good friend he hasn't seen in years. He sees his child he hasn't seen. He sees whoever he sees, a parent. He can't wink to him. He can't wave to him. He can't nod to him. He's accepting God as the King of the universe. How does Rabbi Akiva respond? How does he say, "I was waiting for this every day of my life"? How does he say that? That's what the Gemara relates. To this, the Ben Yehoyada tells us an unbelievable point. That when they took Rabbi Akiva on day one, on Rosh Chodesh Elul, until Yom Kippur, the last day of his life, he died in Yom Kippur. They did this to him every single day. What's this? They scraped his body with these metal combs. And what did he do in response? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Every single day. That's 40 days. And after it happened, When he went back to his cell, he thought this was his last day. He thought he was going to die now. So he was saying Shema, and his Talmidim asked him, Rebbe, until what point can a person take this? And he responded and said, I would say Shema every single day, and I would accept upon myself that if I would be killed, if I would die for God's name, to sanctify God's name, that's exactly what I want. And that's what Shema is.
It's like a rehearsal.
To some degree it's a rehearsal, but rehearsal is a little fake because we know it's not real. The rehearsal was a real,
we're preparing
a reality. And that's what we said from the Ramchal and the other Sfarim as well, that when a person says Shema, he should have in his mind, I am coming to accept upon myself that if there would, God forbid, be a day, I'm accepting upon myself to be killed, I'll kiddush Hashem.
So, when on the 40th day,
yes,
which was Yom Kippur, so it was a complete teshuvah for him.
It was.
I mean, he himself was.
Well, he's saying he died on Yom Kippur, and then Yom Kippur's day of teshuvah.
Right. In other words, that was a kapara for him.
It was a teshuvah, right? Misa is a kapara. Death is a kapara. That is correct.
And also
Yom Kippur. Right. Yom Kippur. Right.
Yom Adin.
Well, it's also a Yom. Right. The story is not over yet. The Romans didn't let his body out. They didn't let his body to be buried. But they're not in charge. Hashem said his body will come out. The Ben Yehuda brings from a Medrash in Mishlei, and he says that Eliyahu Navi was sent. And on that day, on Yom Kippur, there was no one there. It seemed like the Romans allowed a Talmud, a student, to serve Rabbi Kiva, even after he was in jail. But on that day, Yom Kippur, first of all, Rabbi Kiva wasn't eating, he was fasting. He was fasting. So he didn't need anybody to serve him. So there's no one around. Eliyahu Navi came to his Talmud, to his student, Rabbi Yeshua, Hagarsi, and he told Rabbi Yeshua what happened. And he told Rabbi Yeshua, we're going to get Rabbi Kiva, and we will go bury him. Now, how are they going to do that? Just walk in there, walk out? I'm talking about the Roman government, the Roman Empire here. Well, that's exactly what they did. They walked in and they walked out. Because the Medrash tells us that Hashem brought tardeima, sleep, upon them. And they walked in, and Rabbi Yeshua picked up his Rebbe, and he carried him on the shoulder. And with their Eliyahu Navi, they walked the day and the night to Tveria, and upon reaching a certain place, a cave opened up, and on that cave was a mita, a bed, a candle, and it was ready prepared for the holy Rabbi Kiva. They brought Rabbi Kiva inside, they laid him down, and they walked out, and it closed up. And that is the burial place of Rabbi Kiva until this day.
Where is that?
Tveria. That's what is brought down from the Ben Yehuda, from the Medrash and Mishlei. What's the lesson to be learned? We hear these wonderful stories. That's Rabbi Kiva. I'm a simple person, which we are simple people. But in the simple people that we are, we have that spark of Rabbi Kiva as well. And that we inherited from our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That ability, as we'll get to, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll learn in the future. V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol me'odecha b'chol nafshecha. That's Yitzchak. That was willing to be killed for Hashem. This he ingrained. He gave us. Some of us have blue eyes, brown eyes, whatever it might be. We get this from our parents. This we get from our parents as well, our forefathers. This ability to give over ourselves for Hashem. So we mentioned already the halacha, the importance of having kavana to the raiso. Now I'll discuss a few aspects of the halachas and different inyanim of Shema. once you realize the importance, to some degree, the importance of Shema,
right before we go to sleep, since on death, sleep is 1/60th of death, we're sort of, you know, we can put ourselves into that mode, because, you know, I'm giving myself, you know, my neshama to Hashem right now.
Right, now that Shema is the Rabbanan, as you know, right. That is the Shema of the Rabbanan. We say Shema twice a day in the morning, by Shachris and by Marav is the Raisa. The Kriya Shema Lamita is rabbinic origin. But I hear the point. It's like the 60th one I hear. Very nice. So we mentioned that in the Shulchan Aruch that mitzvah srichas kavana, all mitzvah deraisa have to have kavana. So when it comes to Kriya Shema, which is deraisa, we have to make sure that before we say Shema, we accept upon ourselves all malchus shemayim, God is our King. We subjugate ourselves to Hashem, as well as the fact that we are coming to fulfill the positive command of saying Shema twice a day. These are the two kavanas we have to have. It's an obligation. We have to have this kavana, these two kavanas, before we say Shema. Now, in general, throughout the day, every bracha, every tefillah, when we say a bracha, we say Hashem's name. So we have to have the kavana, we're saying Hashem's name. Hashem is Adoin HaKol, Master of everything. When saying Shema Yisrael Hashem, Elokeinu Hashem, Echad, we have to have not only the kavana of Hashem as master of everything, but also the kavana of Hoya Hoyve Viye, that God is past, God is present, and God is future. We have to make sure, in order to fulfill this obligation of saying Shema, to make sure we have this kavana as well. When we say Shema Yisrael Hashem, so beforehand, or while, or afterwards, we have a mind that Hashem is a master, Adoin HaKol, master of everything, as well as Hoya Hoy Vivia. Hoya, He was, He is, and He will be, He's always. Past, present, and future. That's why both times when we say the word Hashem.
Wouldn't the first include the second, though? I mean, if you say He's master, I mean, doesn't that mean He also was, is, and will always
be? Well, master could mean just, He's a master right now. It could mean just now.
Oh, I see.
Right? When we say Hoya Hoy Viyya, we're saying it's all-inclusive. He's not just today, He was back then. But if I say He was, is, and will be always, I'm not saying He is the master of everything. Now, ideally, by every single bracha or time you say Hashem's name, we should try to have all both. But it's not going to be akiv. It won't hinder right. And hold back the fulfillment of saying the bracha. Yes?
Why, then, don't they put Adon Olam closer to the Shema?
Why should Adon Olam? Adon Olam Tefillah, you mean?
Yeah.
Why should that be close to the Shema?
Because that's when you're reciting
The truth is that Adon Olam is the first Tefillah. Matovu is before, as we're coming into Shul. Adon Olam is the first Tefillah of the Seder.
Yeah.
So that's the introduction to the whole entire Tefillah, that God is not just today, not will be, but also was, past, present, and future. The Chachamim of the Tefillah, the Ashkenazi Deilo, Mordechai, from the Purim, know the connection? Okay. He was there, one of the men of the Great Assembly. They felt that the Ashkenazi Deilo felt, if they were the ones who organized this part, that Adon Olam should be in the beginning, as an introduction to Tefillah, and we should make sure we have that mindset later on as well.
It's interesting that, not to go off too far on a tangent, Ziva's saying we should say it closer to that, but it's often that people skip Adon Olam in the morning. I mean, it's not really it's part of the morning brachas, but it's not part of the davening in a group setting.
Yeah, that's correct. It's not as important. Not that we're coming to weigh the value of things as the psuki the zimra. That is true. But it does bring us to that mindset. We did mention already that the importance of saying and fulfilling the mitzvah of Kriya Shema during the time allotted for us. And we said that we have three halachic hours, and the halachic hours begin, according to the Magen Avraham, from dawn until nightfall. According to the Gra, which I'm sure you hold with, most of the Olam holds with it, from sunrise to sunset.
It was four.
That's tefillah. die.
Ah,
yeah.
Either way, it's four.
Okay.
What if you sleep through it?
Well, if a person slept through it, God forbid, so he has violated and transgressed this very big mitzvah. Tshuva means he doesn't do it again. Okay. He should still daven and say Shema, but the fulfillment of it, that mitzvah of Shema was lost. It now has the status of learning because Shema is part of the Chumash, the Torah. What should a person do if he's davening and he's not sure if the tzibur, the chazan, will arrive by Shema before the time that the time will pass? So what he should do is say Shema before davening on tnai, a condition. What's the condition? The condition is that if by the time we get to that, right now I'm coming to fulfill my mitzvah. He'll say all three paragraphs. However, if we will get to Shema with the brachas of the Shema, which we've been discussing the past few weeks, then this tefillah, this Shema I'm saying now, should have a status of Torah, of learning. So it has that's the condition he's making. Once again, he's making the condition. Before davening, he'll say Shema and coming to fulfill his obligation of saying Shema. He'll do everything properly. However, that's on the condition he won't get to Shema with the tzibur. But he's in his tonight, in his condition, he's saying that if I will get there on time, then this tefillah of Shema should have a status of Torah. Now, what is it that we should have kavana? What should we have in mind? Now we're going to list here around 8 different concepts, which is hard to remember them all now. We'll try to review them. We could listen to them, read over the notes maybe. Basically, Shema is the declaration of one's belief in the following Jewish principles. 1, that Hashem exists. 2, He is one. What does it mean, He is one? That there's no other God. So number 1, Hashem exists. Number 2, He is one. There is no other God. 3, He is eternal. He is everlasting. Netzach Netzachim. Number 4, He's all-powerful. Number 5, He created and is the master of all that exists. So number 5 is He created and is the master of all that exists. Number 6, He watches over the Jewish people with special and divine providence. And that's how we ended the Ava Rabba. HaBoicher, V'keraftonu Malkeinu, V'keraftonu, He brought us close. What's too close to what? To Har Sinai. He gave us the Torah. V'keraftonu Malkeinu, HaBoicher, Ba'amu Yisrael, Be'ahava, with love. He chose us with love. We always want to feel we're loved. We always want to feel we're missed. We make a difference. And Hashem says, each and every one of you count. I want to hear your tefillah. I want to hear your words. Number seven. Thank you. Number 7. Glad you're here. Make sure you're here all the time. He will ultimately be acknowledged by all mankind. Who is the He? Not just you. Okay. God, we're talking about Hashem, will be ultimately acknowledged by all mankind. Ne'emar, b'yoy mahu yeshem echad, u'shma yechad. B'yoy mahu, on that day, when Mashiach comes, all mankind will ultimately realize the emes of Hashem. Number 8, one's acceptance, by saying Shema, he's accepting the yoke of heaven to the degree that he would sacrifice his life in order to sanctify Hashem's name. And this ultimately shows the complete subordination to Hashem and how he will serve Hashem by fulfilling his commandments. As we said, Shema is Rosh Tevas, all Malchus Shemayim, backwards. Now, let's apply these concepts in the word Shema Yisrael Hashem Akin Hashem Achad. Shema Yisrael, listen, Yisrael, we're talking, it's like we're addressing Klai Yisrael. I testify to you. Shema Yisrael, I testify to you to what? To believe in the following. Hashem, that God is always, is, will be, He is now, He was, and will be in the future, the master of creation. That's Hashem. Elokeinu is all powerful and watches over the Jewish people with divine providence. Once again, Hashem. That Hashem is the God of the master of all creation. He was, is, and will be. Echad. He is one, and ultimately, in the future, will be acknowledged by all mankind. And the person accepts upon himself the sovereignty that he will sacrifice his life to sanctify Hashem's name, if so required. Now, this is a lot. We're about to say Shema in a few minutes, Simeth Hashem. The minimal requirement for Kavanah is Shema Yisrael, listen, Yisrael, Hashem is our God, past, present, and future, and we accept His rulership, His kingship. Hashem is the one and only God. Now, when a person accustoms himself to saying this again and again, eventually it will become second nature, not that he should do it by rote, but he'll be able to do it. Why is there a custom to draw out the word Echad? And the reason for that is because Aleph indicates one God. Hashem is one. That's the Aleph. The Ches, that there are eight different levels, seven heavens, and this earth, Hashem is above everything. Seven different heavens, and this earth, Hashem is above all that. That's the Ches. Dalid, because there are four corners, and Hashem rules over all the four corners. We're saying Hashem is in charge of everything.
You add them together, you have 13 attributes of Hashem.
That's right. Very good. That's Ava, right. You told us once, right. You read that. Now, with the next few minutes we have, which is not too many, we'll try to tie this into Purim now a little. Why do we cover our eyes?
To get rid of all distractions, so we're not focused on anything.
Concentration. Very good. That's one correct reason. There's another reason which I saw in the introduction to the Sefer Chayos HaVavos. And before we say that answer, I'd like to discuss a little of the Purim story and lessons that we could take out from it. We have a situation where the Gemara asked the question, why? Why did the decree come out? Because as we know, if there's a tzara, if there's a problem, if there's suffering taking place, it's because of a sin, because of a chet. If that's the case, this the Ramban tells us at the end of Parshas Bo. The Ramban tells us there's no such thing as nature. If we fulfill the mitzvahs properly, we'll be rewarded. And this is actually the message of the second parasha of Shema, which we'll get to, God willing. However, God forbid we transgress the commandments, we'll be punished. We'll get the wake-up call. So the Gemara tells us there were two main sins that took place. One sin was that the Jews bowed down to the idol in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. This was an idol that got taller and taller and wider, which defies the laws of physics. Now you play with Lego, even the little Lego toys, whatever it might be. That's not how you build. You start wide at the bottom, get more narrow as you go up. Here, it was tiny in the bottom and get wider and wider. How did it stand like this? Because Nebuchadnezzar, the Rasha, took the Shem Hashem, the Shem of Farush, God's holy name, and he placed it inside the idol's mouth, and it said, I am Hashem, your God. I am Hashem, your God. And they bowed down to this idol. Next, the Jews went to the Suda of Achashverosh. They were Nenem, Mesudosoi, Shel Achashverosh. They had pleasure from the Suda of Achashverosh. The Gemara tells us it was these two sins that brought upon us this decree that we will be destroyed. And this decree was not a joke. This was a decree that many of our relatives did not come to live the next day around 60 years ago. I have great grandparents who were killed, and relatives and uncles and aunts through Haman's descendants. I'm sure some way, somehow, unfortunately we have relatives that did not make it out or who were tortured from Haman's descendant. Hitler. Yimach Shemo. We have only a couple minutes remaining. Why do we cover our eyes? We said so we should have concentration. Mordechai said, don't go. And they didn't listen. Another reason we cover our eyes is we are showing that we don't know, we don't understand, we cannot understand. And yet we accept. We accept whatever you, Hashem, place upon us. And Mordechai said, don't go. The Pasuk says, Esa shalakecha tira. You shall fear God. Shimnam Tsuni, the Tana Shimnam Tsuni, Gemara tells us, learned out every single S in the Torah. He darshened it out, he learned nothing, something else to learn out from it. When it came to this Pasuk, he said, I don't know, I don't understand. What else could I fear besides God? Something to compare with God? You can't do it. Blasphemy, God, who knows what it is? I can't do it. He said, if this is not correct, if I can't figure this out, all my other ones are not correct also. Imagine that. He scratched them all. Ad Shibar Rabbi Akiva, until Rabbi Akiva came along. The same Rabbi Akiva who died with the words of Echad on his lips. Accepting Shema Yisrael, Hashem Akein, Hashem Echad, accepting God's sovereignty upon himself. And he said, no. Eisa Hashem Elokecha Tiro, L'Rabos Tamidei Chachamim. That we have to also give honor and fear to the Tamidei Chachamim. We have seconds left for tonight's shiur. There are many lessons and messages to take out from the story of Purim. We cover our eyes. We are saying, Hashem, I don't know, I don't understand, but I trust in you. Eis Hashem lekecha tira. I trust in Hashem. Es l'rabos tamidei chachamim. We live in a world where we need guidance, we need leadership. We have to go and follow the leadership of our chachamim, of our wise men. And even though we don't understand, we have to have our rebbeim. Say l'charav, have a rebbe, and follow his guidance. And we'll conclude with the power of tefillah on Purim. Yom Kippur, Chazal tell us, it's brought down, our sources tell us, the Sfarim tell us, Yom Kippur is Yom Kippurim. Is a day which is compared to some degree like Purim. When we daven on Purim, our tefillahs will be answered. An honest tefillah, a tefillah Hashem says, you come to ask me. The Sefer Chasidim tells us, a person who davens for spiritual success, Hashem says, that's what you want. You want to sanctify my name? I will give it to you. I'll grant you. Mirat Hashem, tomorrow night is Purim. We should all daven for success in our spiritual acquisitions, individually and collectively. And it should ultimately be a situation where just like Hashem redeemed us from Haman and from Achashverosh, Hashem should bring the redemption, the final redemption, b'mehira yameinu.
Amen.